Hi, this is Amrita Sukumar, and I'm bringing to you this podcast called Unsettling. Look around you. Everyone is trying to create their own story. Make a tiny change in someone's life by just following their passion, and in turn, inspiring the others to follow suit. This podcast brings to you stories of people who have defied the definition of settled set by the society and have created their own. They have found happiness in their version of settling. The biggest wall you have to climb is the one you build in your mind. This is a very famous quote by Roy T. Bennett, and today's guest believes it to be true. She's a life coach who helps people get out of their own way and change the narrative of their own inner voice. But her journey of becoming a coach was as unsettling as the name of this podcast. Not only has she worked as a consultant with MNCs and startups, she has also worked as a professor. She's a business school facilitator, and she's also an EI and NLP practitioner. Her motto in life is that one should keep learning. Anyone who stops learning is old, whether at 20 or 80. Anyone who keeps learning is young. So to know more about her journey and to learn about coaching, I would like to welcome Tanaya Atsrekar. Hi, Tanaya. How are you?
Hi, Amrita. Thank you so much for this warm introduction.
So since you are a coach and usually you are the one asking questions, how does it feel to be on the other side of the spectrum today?
I think I feel good. It's a bit relieving because I know, you know, I just don't have to think. I just have to answer. Being on the other side is much more comfortable. On the other side, other ways as a coach is usually a role of responsibility.
Yes, I agree. I have also been to one of your coaching sessions, and I know how difficult it is to be the one answering questions and the one asking them, for sure. So, as we heard in your bio, you have done a lot of career switches, and you have literally, you know, tried really hard to find this career path. So what inspired you to make this career shift into coaching, and when did you first hear about it?
So I think coaching came to me very intuitively, because as a profile, I have been a trainer and a facilitator. And my job entailed actually traveling to remote parts of India, interacting there with engineering students and, you know, from BBA students and MMS students. The student used to come and, you know, ask for some advice or a suggestion onto something. And I realized that I can only share with them what has been my experience or my learning. But other than that, I lack a tool, or I lack a set of qualifications or a certain exposure that I'm able to help themselves out of their respective situations. That means I always thought that I need a formal training if I have to further go out and help people. That was one part of it, though I did not take it seriously then. The second part was also when a lot of consultancies that I was working with as a facilitator started asking me, Tanaya, clients are now asking for an emotional intelligence coach or a life coach. Do you have any such relevant certifications? So that idea again got kind of reinforced there. And I still was so busy with mainstream work and everything that was going on that I didn't budge. And finally, COVID happened. So that's, I think, a large difference maker in my life, an attitude towards life, a professional choice. By large. So that happened, and I realized, okay, now everyone is upskilling themselves, and I'm an interview panelist for a B school, and that's the first question I ask people, you know, how do you keep yourselves updated? And I said, okay, how am I updating myself now? And then I realized this coaching certification is long due and I should take it. After I started my coaching program, my initial expectation and plan from the certification was is to take up the coursework and have a certification ready and continue with my old journey of training and facilitation. However, when the journey started, I think I experienced a lot of personal transformation myself. So, and it was change in small habits, perspectives, actions. And I realized it's not any other certification that a trainer or a facilitator has, but it's basically a change in your energies. It's a shift in your perspective, and it's a long lasting permanent change in you as as a human being. And I really got intrigued with this whole concept of self-awareness. Though I was interested in self-help books earlier, and I did read about cognitive behavior therapy and otherwise, those were always my areas of interest. But I think emotional intelligence or maybe NLP, I also did a diploma in hypnosis, that further got me interested. So I'm still learning the advanced coaching skills at the moment while I talk to you also. But I think they have been life-changing for me. And the response that I started getting after coaching people and peer coaching sessions, I think I decided, okay, I mean, I can step into it and venture into it and take it up as a professional career. And in terms of my career, I think I have always been a very intuitive and a kinesthetic person. So my gut feeling stands by me always. So when it came, I just take it. So if you ask me, was there a plan? The answer is no.
So do you think you're going to stick with this or do you have other plans? Now, are you sure that coaching is something that is your calling?
I think I'm going to not close the doors if there is a deeper calling that might come in the future, and keep the doors open. And coaching is my calling for now. So when I speak of my past career, I don't say or I would not put it as that I've really changed things, but I think I have really moved on faster through the ladder and not got into my comfort zone. So what I teach or train is related to my academic experience. So I become a good systematic trainer because I have training to be an academician. That way I became a very good facilitator. I recently completed a program in group coaching, and I think I did a fantabulous job there in the teach back that I had to give because I was a successful facilitator. So I did not find that space of facilitating a group session very intimidating. So if like a third person looks at my profile, they may think that it's possibly not a very linear profile and looks staggered. But if you look at it from a human development or a people development perspective, I have touched all the levels starting from education, training, development, facilitation, and now going on to a deeper level, which is coaching. So I think I'm growing pretty faster, and that's why the profile sounds so nonlinear. But I am really interested in building more on this profile if I can get into research, something like Brené Brown does, and maybe speak on something in a TEDx talk or a TED talk later. So maybe I really want to still build on my coaching experience that I leverage over the years. And yeah. Let's see where it goes.
No, I just had this question because as you said, when you see your profile, you have done so many things from consultancy to teaching to, I think, developing games as well, which you have been doing. So there are so many different things and avenues that you have explored and then come to this conclusion that coaching is your calling right now. So, you know, I was just curious as to what else or what new direction have you found? Is there a new pathway that you have discovered about yourself? And hence the question. Well, I'm really glad that you found coaching and I found you because it has been a wonderful experience talking to you as well about my own journey. So if anybody is interested, you can connect with her. That will come later on. So, so my question is that, coming to the next question, everybody has this question, this query that, you know, what is the difference between coaching and therapy? Is it the same? Is it different? What is your say on it?
I think I would still like to speak more on coaching, but to help the audience differentiate on what it is. Therapy is more psychology oriented and it's more past event oriented, analyzing your past, why do certain behaviors occur and what can you change about them and how can you change your future using that. So it's basically a past and a current perspective that it takes into consideration. Whereas coaching is not that a very deeper psychological analysis, is basically deals with who you are today and where do you want to be tomorrow and how can you craft that journey for yourself from starting today to tomorrow. Okay. Now, since psychotherapy or therapy requires a lot of tools and interventions, you really need to be a trained psychiatrist or a psychologist or a therapist. And the approach is different. However, it's extremely beneficial when you have to deal with issues like either obsessive compulsive disorder, or that could be some kind of trauma or anxiety or fears, you know, so it's extremely useful. Coaching approach is a slightly different one. It's more on conversations, which are in a non-judgmental space. space. And conversations help you tap your inner potential, dig deeper within yourself, and analyze what's coming in the way and how can you get rid of it or deal with it, you know, for your future intervention. So that's an approach. So coaching is more conversation oriented, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And therapy is more, as I said, past and present. So it's different. So coaching can be useful if you want to get unstuck. You mm-hmm. are in a dilemma. Mm-hmm. You are unclear about something, or you just feel confused, or you know that you want to do something, but you're just not unable to take action about it.
Right.
So these are the avenues where, or you just feel helpless in a situation. I know this is happening, but mm-hmm. I don't know what can I do about it. Having said that, there are various techniques, not in purely life coaching per se, but as I said, neuro-linguistic programming, emotional intelligence, that can also help you deal with your fears and anxiety and stress. So I cannot say that therapy and coaching are extremely different. It's like a Venn diagram. So you have an overlapping area, but that's mm-hmm. pretty less. But otherwise, both are sciences basically, and largely do borrow their approaches from psychology as a theory.
Okay.
And neuroscience.
Okay, this is quite interesting. So assuming that I'm an audience and I'm somebody, I'm a client who is coming to you, how do I know whom to approach? Should I go to a coach or a therapist? How would I know that?
I think it depends also on the gravity of the concern that you're facing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you feel that there is anything pertaining to mental health specifically, so I said obsessive compulsive disorder, or you're seeing any physical symptoms of a psychological concern that you have, then possibly a psychiatrist or a therapist is the right person to go.
Mm-hmm.
We are not any which ways related to a medical field. So we cannot prescribe you medicines, or somebody who's under a clinical depression and is already taking pills. That means your hormones are creating something and, you know, it's reflecting in your behavior. That is something that coaching cannot have a remedy to. You can parallelly get coached while you're getting treated, maybe, mm-hmm. but coaching cannot be a solution. So in that case of mental health, if you feel that your concern relates to specifically mental health, then therapy is the way for you. But otherwise, as I said, coaching is about having a conversation when you need more clarity, you're confused about something, you're disappointed with something, you are unable to forget a memory that you want to, you know, or something is just coming in the way. So coaching is something that you can have or get coached even if you don't have a concern per se. We all believe that we need to go to a counselor only when we have a concern. Yes. So I know it's such a taboo sometimes to speak of going to the counselor. If you are married, people will say, oh, their marriage is on the verge of breaking, you know, and that's why I have seen her going to the counselor. Or if you see a parent taking his or her child to a counselor or a child psychologist, mm-hmm. the child must be having a problem, you know. So that's the perspective. But you see, we never think of cricketers having a coach that, oh, he must be having a problem with his game. Not really. The coach is helping you up your game.
Hmm.
So coaching cannot be viewed as a treatment for a concern that you have,
right.
but it's basically a tool which you can leverage to be a better you than who you were yesterday or you are today. So you can really use to leverage your skills, you know, get rid of your weaknesses or know how to deal with weaknesses, find out what your potential is, set goal for yourselves. So I think that's the perspective that I want to bring about coaching, that it's not a place where you go when you have concerns, but when you want to be a better version of yourself, you need to have a coach. I mean, all of us need to have coaches, just like we need to exercise every day. So it's good to have a coach once a month for yourself, so you stay on your track, either professionally or personally in relationships. I think it's good to have a coach.
Okay. Yes. So it's basically like having a physical trainer who tells you what to do and pushes your limit, pushes your boundaries, helps you explore, find unexplored muscles. I too have some, but that is basically what coaching does. And thank you for giving us that clarity. So I just wanted to ask you, coaching also requires a lot of training. Are there any training institutes in India, or is it just abroad? Where did you get your training from?
Yes. So yeah, being a coach definitely requires the training. You just can't have conversations like the way you and me are having right now, and you cannot come up with a solution. But having said that, it's a highly unregulated field, but the International Coaching Federation, the ICF, is perceived to be the highest authority in the field of coaching. And those are the certifications that I am undertaking at the moment and moving on to the next level. So ICF is basically a world-recognized body, and life coaches all over the world tend to usually apply for this certification. So it is regarded as kind of a decent standard, or the highest standard that most of the organizations kind of recognize. In Europe, you also have the European Mentoring Council. So you also have the EMCC. So some organizations might ask for an EMCC certification in life coaching if you travel to the Europe. But EMCC and ICF are the topmost ones. Mm-hmm. But you also have smaller training or coaching academies who will kind of deliver a coursework of 8 or 9 days or 20 days or sometimes, you know, 50, 60 hours staggered over a couple of months and issue you a certificate of being a life coach. So you can start practicing life coaching from there as well. But if you're looking for an organizational assignment as a life coach or looking to expand your business outside India, people will usually ask if you have an ICF or an EMCC certification that will work in your favor. And while these training schools might train you, they will also help you qualify for the next level of application to these organizations.
Oh, nice. So as usual, there's this one question that everybody has. What is the scope of this profession? Everybody has this question. So I'm just going to ask you that. What is the scope of being a coach? Can you get, can you start freelancing, or do you have to work under somebody?
So it is limitless. The potential you have, the intent you have, the clients are limitless. So I was looking at some of the researches that ICF has, and at the moment there is indeed a dearth of coaches worldwide. The maximum number of coaches seem to be in the countries of US and then Europe, and then we have a lesser in Asia. Awareness around coaching is growing at the moment, and people do want to know what's the difference between counseling and coaching and therapy and all of that. But as our world seems to be getting more and more complicated, we are getting spoiled for choice. We are moving away from our own locus of control and getting driven with a lot of external factors, validation, information and exposure that we have. We will constantly need coaches. So the demand is limitless. And you have a couple of options when you get certified yourself as a coach. You can freelance, start your own practice. That also means that you can specialize in something. You can be a youth coach. You can be a leadership coach. You can be a relationship coach. So you can be a lifestyle coach, whatever. You can be a health coach. You can be a mental wellness coach. So you can decide, you know, your niche. You can decide your niche audience. You can be a relationship coach for married women. You can be a relationship coach for men and women who are on the verge of getting married. So you can really narrow down and have your own market. That's one.
Right.
Second is you could associate with a lot of websites wherein coaches are empaneled, and you as an audience can basically book a coach on call, on a video call. So you can get yourself affiliated with such websites. You can get yourself affiliated with organizations who need coaches to develop their own leaders. So there are a couple of options as coaches you have. You can, I mean, if you're already into some another profession full-time, you can transport the coaching perspective into that job as well. I know someone who is implementing principles of coaching into the supply chain practice.
Oh,
so even if you're an organization, you can, you know, try, or helping solve conflicts using the coaching approach. So even being in the organization, you can still have this as an additional skill. To, you know, kind of maneuver your career. My husband just had a workshop, a 3-day workshop. He's a chartered accountant, but he had this workshop because he is in this leadership position where he needs to build a team. So he was taught on how coaching can help you manage your subordinates well. And I said, see, I told you a couple of months back, you need to learn coaching. And then you disregarded my suggestion. And now you're getting trained on it yourself for 3 days. So yeah, it's becoming popular.
Right. Because since our coaching sessions that we have been doing for a while, I also realize that it is not just pertaining to a particular problem. Like if I come to you with a particular problem and then we find solutions for it, I realize that once your mind opens up and you realize that everything is in your head, you start applying this knowledge to every single tiny thing around you. I'll give you a very silly example. Now, recently, I noticed that I sleep a lot during the day because it is winters and it is so cold that, you know, you don't feel like getting up from your bed and you feel like, you know, shivering in wearing with those duvets and everything. So I realized just because of the cold, I'm unable to work. And hence, the best approach would be to increase my core temperature. How do I do that? I do it by drinking warm water. So when I drink warm water, my brain is active and I start working better. So it's these tiny, tiny things. It's not just, you know, maybe big, huge things that you go for coaching for. It's this tiny awareness that you get about yourself that helps you in the long run. It might not seem like a lot, but it did help me work these past 1 week. So definitely I get it. Coaching helps in all fields of life. So I just had this query, and this is a myth that I had. So I felt that coaches and therapists do not need coaching themselves. So this is one aspect I had. I used to feel that, you know, their lives are so sorted that they don't need coaching themselves, but then you busted the myth. So I just had this query. How often do you yourself get coached, and how has that changed your life?
I think it has changed my life immensely. I keep a diary with myself whenever I encounter a situation, and reflecting on it tells me, okay, this habit of mine is coming in the way, or maybe this is something that I need to change for myself. I jot that down. And at the moment when I speak to you, also I have a list of around 15, 16 topics in my book that I will share with a coach when I have a session with them. So basically, sometimes I get coached once a week, sometimes even twice a week, because that's also part of the coaching practice that I do, and we offer and we get coached ourselves. But I'm telling you, the tougher side of it is, it's not easy to face yourself. The coach will never blame me, but what comes out in a coaching session sometimes is, oh my God, I'm really coming in my own way, and I have an assumption in my mind which is not true, and it is harming me and people around me. It's so difficult that time to just accept yourself and even acknowledge that you are the one who's actually doing that, and which does happen in most of the intense coaching sessions. Yeah. But over a period of time, it really transforms who you are. It really does. My husband is not here, otherwise he would have vouched for this. The way he has seen me before we got married and after our marriage, and I've started the coaching journey, there is an immense difference in me as a human being. So because I just got trained professionally on coaching skills, but we together see a lot of difference in me as a person in terms of my limiting values like control, or in terms of my temperament, in terms of the way I speak. So in terms of, filing people, I was very judgmental and opinionated. But the first principle of being a coach is you create a non-judgmental and an unopinionated space for yourself and for others with you in the session. So I think it's a transformation that I experience. And yeah, I think I feel lucky to be a part of this tribe, because now when I have a concern, I know I just need to call up a fellow friend and he or she will end up coaching me. So that's
you just mentioned that, you know, you have started creating an unopinionated space, and which is free from judgment and bias. So how do you do that? That's one biggest question that I have.
So it's not easy. I just had a coaching client ask me this question this morning. And the client said, Tanaya, I'm sharing so many confidential things with you, and they just come out in this space. I'm wondering, how does it affect you as a coach, and how are you able to stay unbiased? That's what we are taught in the school when we learn coaching. And being unbiased means not getting entangled in the story and words of a person. So if I'm narrating the story, this is what happened to me. If I get into the details of the story, I mean, I get interested or mentally get occupied, I automatically get transported into a space of judgment with a lot of details. However, we are asked to pay attention to certain words, the body language of the client, the energy of the client, the eye movements of the client, that our attention is so much to those factors that we are actually not listening to the details of the story and automatically staying away from it. So when somebody is saying, this is what happened to me, I will say, oh, I just sensed a huge sigh. And what was that about? So I could basically register the sigh and I forgot what the client said. So that doesn't mean we are not listening. We really need to sharpen our listening skills hard, but we listen only to selective things. For example, is somebody telling us, I don't want to be a pilot. I don't want to be poor my whole life. I don't want to be not having a good career. I'm not listening to what does he or she does not want. I'm listening to this word, not. It tells me that this person is an away type of personality. That means this person kind of protects himself or herself from being things. Whereas some people are toward people who say, I want millions of dollars. I think I want a 5 BHK penthouse. I think I want a successful career. So I know that this is a toward person. So I have kind of left what the person wants, but I'm focusing on this word that I want to do. So focusing on these things keeps your mind and brain occupied on this perspective, and then you lose the story. So that's how
wow. Now I get it, because even I have noticed whenever our coaching sessions go on, you have this beautiful habit of pointing out details that even I have not noticed about myself. And then by the end of it, I just get so surprised and shocked that, you're actually pointing out tiny details, even tiniest ones, which I might have just overlooked while saying. And then when it comes back as a perspective from you, it seems as if, this is like a revolution for me. So now I get it, how you remain free from judgment. I also know that coaching is not one size fits all. You can't just go to a coach and it might work out or might not work out for you. So the coach and the person who is getting coached have to get well together. So speaking from a client's perspective, how will I know who is the right coach for me?
So it's good to have a conversation with the coach beforehand. Most of the coaches that you see who have listed themselves on either coaching websites or in coaching directories on their own website will always have a 30-minute or a 20-minute slot, which they call as a discovery call. That's free of charge. So you basically have a conversation with the coach where the coach can tell you what you can expect in a coaching conversation and what is expected out of you in that coaching conversation. And you might want to match that with what your expectations are and also put out explicitly your expectations to the coach. And then both of you can come to a conclusion whether you are good partners for each other, and then you can take that relationship forward. It's just like some doctors suit some patients and some doctors don't suit. That doesn't mean that there are bad patients or there are bad doctors, but it's just that their energies don't match, or there is something that just doesn't connect. So it's absolutely essential for you to connect with a coach before you get into a formal coaching conversation. So all the coaches, most of them that I know, do offer an interaction 20 or a 30 minute, which, as I said, is a discovery call. So you should leverage on that.
Okay, done. So hopefully anybody who is planning to get coached does that, makes use of this. So you also spoke of a lot of, courses that you've done. You've learned EI, you've learned NLP, you've learned hypnosis. So what are the techniques that you use while coaching somebody?
So the largest asset that I as a coach or any other coach in the world has is the on-the-spot presence in a coaching session. And by presence, again, means creating a non-judgmental space and listening to the words of a person very carefully. So maybe in a coaching session, I'm not able to dissect and tell you, oh, this is an NLP principle that I used. This is a positive psychology principle that I used. Oh, this is a CBT principle that I used. But by nature, I think I'm a very curious individual and I keep reading, I keep listening. I use approaches of whether nonviolent communication, PQ or positive psychology, positive intelligence, NLP, CBT, EI, whatever, mindfulness, whatever I read and I come across and I tweak that into questions. So there are various approaches that I use. But having said that, I never sit in the session with an intent that let me use NLP with Amrita today. No, that's not how it is. Right. It basically, we co-create that space. So what comes up for you in the session as a client? And really tells the coach when it's the right time to administer either a self-assessment test or take the person into visualization or just have plain conversation with the person. So that's very intuitive. That comes up in that space.
Oh, right. So it's not a structured format. It's more like an intuitive one. It depends completely on the conversation right then and there and what comes up at that particular point. And depending, of course, on the energy of the person, how they are responding to the coaching.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So there are so many things and so many factors that come into play when you have to coach somebody. It's not an easy task at all. So, there's this one point that you yourself told me that if you want to be something, there is that it always comes with a cost. And there are always fears associated with it. So what were the fears and costs that came with being unsettled and finding your calling?
Oh my God, this is like a long story and I have been a firsthand witness to this whole phase of unsettling, which continues until now. I was a university topper for my graduation. I stood first in the University of Pune and I started working in hospitality then. And post that, I've done my master's in HR and labor laws and then NET and training and consulting and life coach. I have my courses on Udemy. So I'm quickly running you through to just tell you the diverse fields that I've tried hands in and on, and I'm kind of doing things. I worked in the US. I still continue to work for a US client because I was in the US for a while. So the journey has been something that comes in front of you. I decided, okay, maybe this is challenging enough for me. I haven't done it and I will choose to do it. Of course, people close to you, friends, family, will always tell you to be on a path that is well proven or that's already been established. And I was reading this book on group coaching. I forgot the name of the author. And she said, if you're walking the path of your career on a track that is well proven, then that's not your career. So you create your path for your own career. And I remember my mother going to an astrologist and showing my horoscope. She's on the verge of quitting this, you know, government-paid scale job. And I said, okay, mom, just chill. You go to the astrologer. And even if he says, Abhi, there is no yoke of me quitting the job, I will. And I did quit that job. I was working for an immensely reputed institute in Mumbai then. And it's not been an easy journey because people, even if you decide to be in a non-judgmental space, people have not promised you that. So they will judge you. Your relatives will tell you, oh, please finally just stick to this one thing that you do, you know. And people say, oh, you know, I don't know what to tell people what you do because today you're doing this, tomorrow you're doing this, you know. So people will keep discouraging you, taunting you. But I think you have to stand by your own conviction and your own gut feeling, and that will give you the strength. Your gut feeling is basically a conviction that comes from within. And when it comes, you know that it is a gut feeling and it is not an assumption because there are neurons situated around your guts. So your body will never lie to you. And with your own awareness, you will always know that, as I said, this is not an assumption, it's a gut feeling. So my strength came from there. I remember my father not being very happy when I chose to do my bachelor's in hospitality. And he was the one who distributed, I don't know how many suites after I topped the university and my name was into the newspapers. So I always tell this classic line to everybody who asks me, Tanaya, how has your journey been, you know, to where you are? I think when you start your journey on an untrodden path, there is nobody to support you and everybody will say, okay, I mean, you walk alone, we are watching the show. And once you reach the destination, and if by chance, by luck, if you're successful, then there will be no person who will be left out who will come and say, oh, Tanaya, I always knew you had the potential to do it. I always knew you would be able to do it. But that path from point A to B, you will have to walk yourself. You will have to walk yourself. And that's your individual transformational journey. That will make you who you are when you reach here. So be glad that there was nobody to share that journey with you. You got all the individual attention from God and universe to deal with all the problems and you really came out stronger. But if you are looking for validation, acceptance, and a lot of people support on your journey, then go with the flow. Because walking by our own terms has its own uncertainties, challenges, And you really need to be tough sometimes. You need to be ready to face failures. And you can't say, as Brené Brown says, you know, I'm risking failure on this path. No, you are bound to fail. Because it's unproven, you will fail, you know, I mean, small way or a big way, but you will. So your success depends on how many times are you able to get up after you fall. But if you need a lot of people to help you out, and come out of it, maybe then you want to think for yourself if that path is for you.
Oh my God. It just makes so much sense. I completely agree. You know, once you set out on a journey and people don't, you know, people are not supportive of you. And once you reach the destination, people just want to be a part of your success, which is wonderful. So I'm glad you took the step. I'm glad you're changing so many lives. You have, you've been coaching people, changing their career path, their emotional intelligence, giving them so much knowledge. And I'm really glad that you found this calling. This is my personal selfish reason, but definitely I'm sure you have helped a lot more people. So what message would you like to give the listeners who wish to take up coaching as a career?
I think it comes from your intent to help yourself and others. You have to have your own reasons to choose this as your career. It will definitely give you monetary benefits. It does. But as a coach, it does require some amount of awareness and work in yourself first. It's not like taking up a degree program for 3 years, passing out and getting a placement with a hefty paycheck. But it's basically a lot of internal work for you to do. And even if you decide, okay, I'm not going to change myself, it will change you, even if you're not wanting it to change you. So that's how powerful the process of coaching is. And it requires a lot of practice. It requires a lot of rigor. So it's just like if somebody wants to take up a career in NGOs, it's not a typical career. You need it supplemented with enough of your intent. So it's just like Reiki or coaching or yoga for that matter, or NGO career, where it needs a lot of inner intent and support before you professionally, you know, make it as your source of living. So.
Okay. So you need a lot of, you have to move inwards before you start helping other people. It's like that. Okay, so coming to the final question, I ask this to everybody on the podcast because everybody, as you said, the entire, you know, populace wants you to follow one certain path and you decided to take the road not taken. So what does the phrase being settled mean to you? Beta. I forgot beta.
So being settled for me, I think I just visualize a metaphor when you ask me this question. Being settled for me would be to be in a box, which is closed. So yeah, for me, unsettled is always being open for something that you may come across and accepting that as your own and keep moving and not be inside a box.
And well, you've done just that. I hope there is more to come. I want to see that profile that you sent me grow bigger and bigger and, you know, have more achievements added to it. Definitely. This has been a wonderful conversation. I'm done with my questions. And thank you so much for sharing this wonderful journey with us, talking about coaching, telling what is important in a coach, in a coachee, and what kind of approaches we have to take to change our lives. If you could just share about your venture so that people also know and, you know, they can connect with you. So can you just give a brief just about what you do and how people can get in touch with you?
So I think I will be sharing a link with Amrita here and she'll be putting it in the podcast. That's a link to my calendar. You can block a session with me. I just registered my company, which is called the Inner Glint Coaching. And Glint is the beam of light within you. That's what it signifies. So I kind of want to have this forte in helping individuals create sustainable career choices for themselves. So if you are amidst this career path where you are not sure what you want to do, or you need to have a conversation, or you just feel perplexed, you can just go and book a discovery call with me and we can see if we are a good match for each other and we can take it forward from there.
Okay, so get in touch with her. I will be sharing all the links in the description. And I hope to see you guys in her session and on my next episode as well. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tanaya. Thank you so much for coming on the episode. It has been great fun.
Thank you so much for having me, Amrita. Thank you. I enjoyed this conversation indeed.
Me too.
Hi, if you can hear this, that means you have reached the end of the episode. So like, share, subscribe, follow, stay tuned to Unsettling. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can always reach out to me on my Instagram page, AmritaSukumar_unsettling, or send me an email on podcast.unsettling.as@gmail.com. Hope to hear from you soon. Bye.